Chapter 3. Making Money. Miss was now going out with boys and wasn't at home much, but little Miss still spent a lot of time with Andrew. She never forgot that Andrew had made his first wood carving for her. She kept it on a silver chain around her neck. Little Miss didn't agree to Sir giving Andrew's wooden carvings to people as presents.
"Come on, Dad," she said. "If anyone wants one of them, he can pay for it. It's worth it. The pieces of furniture he makes are worth a lot of money."
"It isn't like you to be greedy, my dear," Sir said.
"The money's not for us, Dad," explained Little Miss. "It's for the artist."
Andrew had never heard the word artist before. Later, he looked it up in the dictionary. Sir took Little Miss's advice and started selling Andrew's carvings and furniture. People were prepared to pay a lot of money for them, and they were in great demand. Not long after this, Sir took Andrew to his lawyer, John Freeman. The lawyer had white hair and a fat stomach. He looked at the small carving Sir had given him.
"This is beautiful," he said. "Was it made by this robot?"
"Yes, Andrew made it," said Sir. "How much would you pay for it, John?"
"I'm not sure," replied the lawyer. "I don't know much about these things."
"I was offered $250 for it." "Andrew has made chairs that I sold for $500," said Sir. "We've got $200,000 in the bank from Andrew's products."
"That's incredible," said the lawyer, impressed. "He's making you rich, Gerald."
"Half rich," said Sir. "Half of the money goes into my bank account. The other half is in an account in the name of Andrew Martin."
"The robot?" asked John.
"That's right. And I want to know if it's legal," said Sir.
"Legal," Freeman repeated, reclining in his chair. "I don't know. There are no laws about this subject. Robots have never made money or owned anything before." How did your robot sign the papers at the bank?"
"He signed his name on a piece of paper, and I took it to the bank. I didn't take him into the bank," explained Sir. "Is there anything else that I should do?"
Freeman closed his eyes for a moment and looked very thoughtful. Then he said,
"Well, we can put all his finances in his name. Apart from that, I advise you to do nothing. No one has stopped you yet. If anyone doesn't agree with this, they can bring it to court."
"And will you help Andrew if there is a court case against him?" Sir wanted to know.
"For a fee, certainly," said John.
"How much would you take?" asked Sir.
Freeman pointed to the wooden carving.
"I'd take that," he said.
"All right," said Sir.
Freeman laughed as he turned to the robot.
"Andrew, are you pleased that you earn your own money?" he asked.
"Yes, sir," replied Andrew.
"What will you do with it?" Freeman asked.
"I will pay for repairs and improvements to my body, and also for things that I need for my carvings," replied Andrew. "It would save Sir money."
Andrew soon had an opportunity to spend his money. Robotic repairs and improvements were expensive. New models of robots were constantly being produced, and Sir made sure that Andrew received updated robotic parts as they were manufactured. Andrew insisted on paying for them all. Only Andrew's brain circuits weren't changed. Sir insisted on that.
"The new robots aren't like you, Andrew," Sir said. "Their brain circuits aren't as good as yours. US robotics have learned to make the brain circuits more precise, but the new robots can't be creative or artistic. They do what they are designed for, and never have original thoughts. I like you much better."
"Thank you, sir," said Andrew.
"And the company has changed their robots because of you, Andrew," Sir continued. "I'm sure Mansky changed the brain circuits as soon as he saw what you could do. He didn't like your creativity. Do you know how many times he asked for you so that he could study you? 9 times. I never let him have you, though. He's not getting his hands on you.